Welcome to the Love in the Black podcast. We're your hosts, Miss Long
and Mr. Bill Wealth,
talking all things love and money because just being in love
doesn't pay the bills.
So welcome everybody back to, I don't even know what episode this is. It doesn't matter, but we are your newly minted parents here, almost 2 months in. We have a sleeping baby, so we decided that it was time to provide an update on our lives and all the things that we've been through.
I wish I was asleep right now. I'm tired.
We're both very tired, but...
the show must go on.
Right. And she actually slept through the night last night.
Only the second time ever. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're out here unlocking new levels of parenthood, and it feels pretty good. But we're going to update you guys because obviously we are, you know, almost 1 year in of marriage, 2 months in of being parents to our little bundle of stardom. And there are things that we can talk about that we've just been in awe of learning every day. So we got a few things on our hit list for discussion today.
Might as well start at the top.
Let's start at the top, okay? And with us having a kid, obviously, everyone has registries that they put together when they have a baby, when they have a wedding, etc. So needless to say, we did
follow
the same thing.
Instructions.
Please follow instructions. And we did not have a baby shower because I didn't feel like dealing with finding a venue with all the different vax mandates and buying food and like being pregnant, trying to figure all that stuff out. I was like, I'm not interested in the stress. So what we did instead.
I damn sure won't interested in event planning. So you know it won't go happen. So if you won't go do it, we won't go have it.
Luckily, my mom and my aunt threw Jasper and I a very cute little baby brunch with, you know, just our immediate family, and it was perfect. We had our registry. People bought things off the registry. Needless to say, baby Jaslyn has everything that she needs for survival. Okay.
But the question is, and I'll preface it this way, I know your heart is in the right place. It was the same with the wedding. Like, we have a registry. Those are things we want and or need. Correct?
That is absolutely correct.
So we have a baby. So for the baby, we have on there things we want, but definitely need. Am I reading this correctly? A registry is set up because you're telling the world what you actually want or need. Okay, go ahead.
And so for us, and for definitely for me, we are very conscious about the space that we have. We live in a nice sized condo. However, there is not a lot of storage. And it was extremely important that we do not just fill this space with things that we do not need. And so we were very particular when creating the registry, not to just put a whole bunch of stuff that we don't even need, things that she won't need until she's like
seven
years old. Like, we made sure that like she had the things that we would need in the immediate to be able to take care of the baby, even some like postnatal mom stuff for me that I would need immediately. But the thing is, a lot of people don't, when putting together registries and accepting gifts from people, are not clear with their needs and wants. However, for me,
crystal clarity was there.
I was raised with the notion that closed mouths don't get fed. That means that if you do not ask, you shall not receive. And if you do not make things clear for people, they won't understand. And I've operated that way for the entirety of my life. And I definitely learned from just like very few examples of our wedding registry that people will just go off script. And when people go off script, that creates clutter in our lives. So when it came to our registry for the baby, when it comes to a baby, people want to get you everything. They want to give you all of the shit that they didn't use, that they asked for, that they recognized was not necessary. And they just want to pass the unnecessary down to you. They want to give you and buy you unnecessary things. However,
but let me say this. I know your heart is in the right place.
Absolutely.
Like, so let's remind people. I appreciate the text messages I got every week. Hey man, does your little girl need? No. Hey man, does your little No.
The answer is no. And what we do need is on the registry. And so
which is still online. So if you're listening to this right now, you're like, "Hey, I don't know them, or I know them and I haven't gotten a gift for Jaslyn Janae Smith." The registry is still up online, and there's something on there that we actually need.
Absolutely.
Just FYI, it's still there.
And so I want to talk about, so we talked about people getting things that you don't need. I want to also address people's sensitivity to messaging. And this is going to sound, it might sound harsh, and I don't mean for it to. However, again, closed mouths don't get fed. And it is very important to say what you mean and mean what you say. And so on our registry, I was very clear that if you do not get us something off of the registry, don't get us anything at all, and or you can contribute cash so that we could buy it ourselves, or you can, you know, give money to Jaslyn's investment fund, 529.
Or how about just give us a gift receipt, so in case we don't have this conversation with you because your feelings might get hurt, we'll gladly go take it back ourselves and get the cash. I'm just saying, I mean, it's because the world hasn't like changed, right? We expect people to give stuff we don't want, but we're never voicing our concerns around, we don't have the space, we didn't want this, I don't like this. And I'm just gonna kind of talk about this cuteness thing, right? So Jaslyn's a girl and people are like, "Oh, I got this cute outfit." You think it's cute.
Tiana don't think it's cute.
So anytime somebody's like, "Hey, I think this might be cute," I'm like, "Hey, let me run about my wife because she's going to determine what's cute for her." Like, this is probably going to go on forever in Jaslyn's life because daddy and cuteness, it just don't mix. Mom and cuteness, oh, it mixes, and it better be the right ingredients or else it's a hard no. But again, we know your heart is in the right place. I love y'all. I love you. I appreciate you loving on my daughter. But we are going to have this expectation. And I think that's where a lot of people haven't been courageous enough to tell people, we don't want this. And or here's how we're going to live. And just respect it.
And it was very surprising to myself and to my husband, the way people were sensitive and just felt, some people felt offended by the fact that, you know, due to, like we said on our registry, due to a lack of storage, please only purchase what's on our registry. And
you might as well not even type that on there.
I might as well
you should have left it blank. Give Jaslyn stuff, thanks.
But I would have been so mad, and I even still get mad because, like, we needed an extra.
She's mad right now, y'all. Like, you can see
we
her
needed
face.
An extra, what do you call it, car seat. And someone had an extra one, and in bringing that over, they put a whole bunch of other shit in the car seat that they wanted to dispose of that they didn't use. Like, a whole, like, a set of bottles. We don't need any more bottles. We have plenty of bottles. We have just the right amount of bottles for the stores that we have. So then what was our responsibility? We then had to go take these extra bottles that were taking up space in our home.
To Goodwill. But luckily, I had some clothes. I'm always like,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he had to go to Goodwill already. The fact that we are new parents and now have all of this extra stuff, that's just one example. all this extra shit that we did not ask for in our home that we now have to figure out how to dispose of is rude. when one could have simply followed directions. And the fact that the directions said, purchase what is on the registry or get cash. You didn't have to buy nothing at all, personally, okay? Because one thing about Jasper and I is we did not have a child that we cannot afford. Please, like, let me say that again. We did not have a child that we cannot afford. Before I even put my registry up, I created a spreadsheet of everything on the registry and how much it costed in total.
Talk your shit, T.
Because I was prepared to buy every single thing on my registry in the rare case that nobody bought us what we needed. I could have bought every single fucking thing. Not saying that I want to, and please,
we did still go buy stuff. We already had the crib. We did the chair and the dresser because we knew we couldn't wait for that. So I was like, bought.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the gift cards from the wedding that pretty much paid for the dresser. I just bought the chair because those were things like we gotta have like before the baby. Some of the stuff we were okay waiting until after the baby got here. But like people, again, you're gonna buy stuff when you feel it's necessary. But like we needed certain things. And so it's tough because, again, in our society, we are obsessed with consumption. And it's I'm not obsessed with it, which is why I tend to throw away a lot of stuff right away. I keep sentimental stuff. But when you start moving around a lot, you realize that you have a lot of clutter. Like, if anybody listening to this has a home, you just got shit laying in a closet you ain't touched in probably 10 years if you've been at the house that long. You think if you have an attic or a basement, you just throw stuff in there. Is it valuable? Maybe sentimentally, but it's taking up space. So in a 3-bedroom condo, we don't have a lot of extra storage. And even if we did, I wouldn't want to have just all baby stuff in my storage.
Period.
So we appreciate all the love that we've received, but if you took your life into your own control, like me and Tiana in the driver's seat of how we're going to raise this child, we have high expectations. Shout out to Lala, who had this moment a week or two ago where she almost bought some more. This is her grandchild now, but Lala was like, I thought about what y'all been telling people. And then she just gave us some cash for her investment account.
Which,
and
I'm like, greatly
appreciated. Love you, because every time you think about buying something, you wanted it, but we didn't need it. And I need everybody to have a la-la moment and just think, what would Jasper and Tiana really want, and or what would Jasper and Tiana really need? Just give us money. Look, if you
give money. And the moral of the story is respect people's wishes, especially when it comes to things like this. Things like preparing for a child, taking into consideration the type of space people need, what they're asking for. I've never gone to someone's registry and been like,
screw it.
I'm just gonna go completely off script here and get them something that they completely did not ask for if I haven't talked to them already. And it just mind boggles me the amount of people that are in that space and or are offended by
when you check them,
when you say what you want and say what you don't want and make it very clear. I just cannot. So again, the moral of that story is, you know, respect people's wishes when viewing registries and people that are, you know, expecting children, creating registries, whether it be for a child or a wedding. Do not be afraid to be very clear with people about what you want and what you do not want before you end up with a bunch of shit that you don't need taking up space in your house and you are, you know, putting in an application for the next episode of Hoarders.
All right, breathe. All right, so we're gonna shift gears a little bit to more positive things. So Jaslyn is already a movie star.
Yes, she is.
And
see her name in lights.
It happened just from the sheer fact that the birthing center we used got an email from a casting organization looking for babies.
They were looking for babies between 4 weeks and 4 months, and they sent a photo of, I guess, you know, the complexion of the main character who Jasmine would be, you know, playing the baby of. And I was like, ooh, I have one of those. We have one of those. And sent a couple photos to the casting group. And a
couple days later, bam, movie star.
She's hired.
Done. Already done the filming. And so it's funny that this happened, because I've always joked about like doing commercials and just getting into like a database and having some fun. Like, it's not my career. I just think it'd be cool to be like on a billboard, on a commercial. And then my daughter, before she's 2 weeks old, books a movie deal. So I'm like, yo.
And pops, I always said,
pop, step your game up, pops.
Ask my friends. I've been telling them that this little girl is going to have to contribute to this household, because nobody eats for free around here. And look at her. She is already contributing to her own bank account. And that's what I'm talking about. Get to the bag, baby girl. Get to the bag.
Yeah. And she did very well. I don't know how the other babies did, because they had a couple babies on set. It was just a cool experience.
Absolutely. A great experience, especially for anyone that, you know, wants to get their kid into entertainment. We learned a lot. And having a baby is actually really cool, because they can only be on set for 20 minutes. And to get paid what they get paid for 20 minutes of work, like, psh, for my first job, girl.
Right. And it's the 20 minutes of the shooting, the live shot. And it's, I think it's like an hour in total in terms of how long. Anywho, that 20 minutes is legit. Like,
they have special like people on set.
And they're watching the clock. They're like, hey, what time does this start? Like,
once they start
the clock. And then it's like, hey, we got 2 minutes left. You can't reshoot that scene again. And the baby has got to come out. And it is, that's kind of dope.
Definitely impressive.
I think people would abuse that if they had the chance to, but they run a very tight ship. And I'm sure this seems to be probably a movie that's well funded, so it's probably a little different if you're on different sets. But it was very cool to kind of see kind of that system of like, baby in, baby out, y'all can leave. Like, it's, we good.
So yeah, when our baby's name is in the credits, please believe you will see it. And you know, we hope to get her into some more movies, some more acting, all of the things. So
daddy's definitely want to do some daddy daughter commercials. Mama, if she wants to. I clearly got an itch for one to do this work. I love the camera and video and all that kind of stuff. Mama's definitely welcome to join in with this. But it was cool too, is the not the nurse, the set, let's call him the set teacher. Mm-hmm. She was like, does your daughter have an agent? I was like, ma'am, we're new to this.
Like, literally, like, homegirl just popped out.
She gave us a lot of good, like, a lot of good resources, a lot of good intel around, like, how old the kid should be. Different organizations may not treat your child right. Like, she was very helpful. A little nosy, because she was asking Tiana some other shit that...
Listen.
Anywho.
We gonna let that girl go.
But definitely a great resource in terms of just being on set and being in that environment and seeing kind of how, you know, how the sausage is made, if you will. God knows when that movie comes out, but it'll be just super dope to like see her. Like, I'm actually gonna watch the credits, because I'm like, I don't know what it was, three babies I think they had in the movie. Don't know what number she's gonna be.
She better be baby number one, okay? They know my baby was this. So yeah, be ready for us to have a parent moment when we see our baby girl's name on the big screen.
You know what? I'm gonna get a red carpet for the house.
Okay.
And then we're gonna dress
her up. We're gonna have a party.
And I'm gonna have my camera with flash. I'm gonna keep flashing the light like it's paparazzi.
Let her know she's a star early on, okay? So what next? Unlocking different levels of motherhood / parenthood. I put this on here because she's 7 weeks, going on 8 weeks. We almost have a 2-month-old, y'all. And it has been a challenge, both good and challenging, to say the least. But I think that we are we're unlocking things. For example, getting her on a sleep schedule has been one of the best decisions, yet challenging decisions that we've had to make. And before we really started this process, my friend gave us a book on like sleeping, and they had a like a sleep schedule that we should follow in there. And it was after like one night where she was just not having it. She was not going to sleep. I was delusional. Jasper had to take over. I literally went in the bedroom, got out my laptop, got out a spreadsheet, opened this book, and transferred all of the sleep schedule into this spreadsheet. It has like three different sets, like between when she's born, week seven to like week 15 to whenever it ends. And I made three different spreadsheets so that we could print it out, keep tabs and track of when she was waking up, when she fell asleep. This particular method has like, it's called feed, wake, sleep. So when she wakes up, you feed the child. Then instead of the typical mistake that people make of like feeding your child to sleep, like until they're drowsy, and then right after you feed them, you put them in their crib, they have a particular amount of like awake time that they need to have before they actually go to sleep. And you during, because what would happen is we would feed her, and then she would go to sleep.
I wanted that motherfucker to go to sleep. I was like,
they
go
would
to
go
sleep.
Go to sleep in our arms.
So I could sleep.
And then when they're asleep in our arms, we would then transfer to the crib. But that transference of her being asleep in one place and being transferred to another place where she wasn't, you know, snuggled, she would immediately like wake up, and then we'd have to do this whole process over versus feeding her, having some awake time, reading to her, letting her play on the little playset, whatever, catching the cue that she's sleepy, whether that be a yawn, a huge stretch, whatever, her eyes starting to, you know, drowse and roll and go to sleep, and then catching that and transferring her to the bed while she's still awake and letting her fall asleep in her crib. It has definitely changed I would say the percentage of us being able to transfer her and her actually falling asleep. And
I like the chair. Like I think in lieu of before we kind of worked on this schedule was, I'm about to go sleep in this chair with her because she'll stay asleep and I'm sleepy.
However, that is not a sustainable method.
But like, that's that chair, like, oh.
Arch, we have a very great nursery recliner chair.
Like I took a nap in there on a regular day.
However, like that is not where we need to be sleeping with the baby. My husband needs to sleep in the bed with me. Like, we need to create habits for
speaking of which, a lot of people talked about how their kids sleep with them and they're like 2, 3, maybe 4 years old.
No.
And me and Tana really talked about that early on around, she needed to be in her room. So even after like maybe the first week, I was like, we got to throw in the nurse. Like,
yeah, I think we did 2 weeks. Like we, yeah. Like, because our birth center and like kind of pediatrician situation, they kind of immediately scared us with like SIDS and really wanting us to co-sleep with her for a long time, like the first 6 months.
That shit was real. Fuck
out
of here.
And I will say that like the first week or two, it was helpful having her in the room simply because I was healing and being able to just quickly get her and feed her throughout the 24 hour
cycle.
Real talk
though, when babies are quiet, I think every new parent is like, are they alive?
Are they alive?
Like, it was like, I'm like
freaking out. Swear to God, like
I didn't sleep that well because I was just staring at her like, yo, is she breathing? It is dark, y'all. So it ain't like you can see her little chest. I'm like, going up is and the down. Blanket moving? Oh God, is her face covered?
No, but I honestly think I got some bat vision over those couple of weeks. I could see in the dark, So that's what we did for like the first 2 weeks. And then we were like, okay, we're going to transition her into her crib because obviously we do have a camera so we could watch her. But I think it was just the fear that like, okay, if anything happened, are we able to get across the hall to her fast enough? But we did start and everything has been going well thus far. She sleeps in her crib. There was really no issue when we transitioned her to the crib. She didn't fuss or anything, have any denial to it.
No. And I think for her, it's getting comfortable with not being around us all the time because she's going to have to be alone. Mm-hmm. And so even when she starts to get fussy, and I'll admit, I just want to jump up and save her immediately. And just, you know, when you talk to other parents, they're like, look, the child has to learn how to kind of, I'm not going to say suffer, but you got to deal with some discomfort.
Yeah, they have to self-soothe. And that definitely was the part, like, unlocking a different part of, you know, parenthood is just letting them cry.
Speaking of which, we didn't do pacifiers.
We did not do pacifiers.
So I know people rely on them, but, like, she aight. Like, she...
The only time she really cries is, you know, if she has a dirty diaper or if she's hungry.
Or she just wants to be up.
Or she just wants to be up.
The 3 to 6 a.m. nonsense.
And you have not come to save her. Like, she will give you her signs like, I'm going to coo a little while. And if y'all motherfuckers ain't here, I'm about to roll my head off. Y'all going to hear me. And so, but when we're like putting her down for a nap, and she claims she's not ready, like letting herself soothe, initially was kind of difficult and like, I wanted to cry, but we got over that.
And this whole swaddling thing, look, I know every kid is different because Jaslyn is different. This left arm is definitely both arms, but the left arm is her strong arm right now. And I think she was, swaddled just as the example.
She's an escape artist.
I mean, you're talking less than a minute. That left arm is gone and it's swinging.
And then the next minute,
you see the other one start creeping up. So
it is so strange.
So we did, Tiana purchased the different, the swaddles with the Velcro. So we thought, okay, now she's definitely going to be trapped. This little girl strong as hell. So again, Tiana was like, strapped her in, like Velcroed her in, both arms are down, and she was like, I stood up and the first hand was already creeping out the side of her face.
I couldn't believe it.
And Tiana was like, I put it on tight, which means, oh, she's strong. Like, you're not gonna hold my arms down. So I'm thinking like that's causing her to maybe be up, but I think it's about comfort. Like, when you're not comfortable, you ain't going to sleep. I don't care who you are. But she has shown us like, yo, I can go to sleep without my arms being tucked in and next to my side. And it's been more of her style of, yeah, if we swaddle, it's just like on the bottom half, which now it's like, why even swaddle the bottom half? Just throw a blanket over the bottom half and just she'll have something on her. But, you know, babies, everybody says every baby's going to be a little bit different. And I think that's the, I guess the fun part about parenthood is that with all these books and theories, you really don't know what's going to work until you start experimenting.
Yeah.
Literally.
And we are definitely experimenting with all kinds of things because we have got to figure out what is going to work for her. And we learned that early on because the delusion that we were falling into from not sleeping was out of control. Like, there are plenty of times where I have tapped out. I have passed that baby along to Jasper. You figure it out, and I'm going to go take a shower.
Tiana's come in. She was like, hey, is the baby asleep? I said, I don't know. And it had been like 3 hours.
I was like, give me the baby. Look,
Jasper's looking at me. Tiana's like, well, I was like, oh, she's like, give me the baby. Give me the baby. Give me the baby. I'm like, yeah. So it's an adventure.
And it's teamwork. I know I salute all single parents. Because I'm just grateful to have a teammate in Jasper, and having to do this on my own. I'm good. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to Love in the Black. So, to continue the conversation, parenthood is hard. We're happy to have two people in this together to create teamwork.
I don't know how single parents, well, I know how they do it. Single parents get like all the love. And I see why everybody's like, shout out to my mom or my dad, whomever. Like, I was raised by a single parent. Like, ain't no way, yo. Man, I don't want that life ever.
Nope.
Ever.
And, you know, we definitely family planned, and I highly recommend it. I think that this is the route we'll take. You know, before I was like, oh yeah, you know, I think I want, you know, my kids to be super close in age, like maybe 2 years apart. Yeah, no, 4 or 6 years apart is what it's gonna have to be, because I'm good. This newborn stage is, even though they say this is the easy, a lot of people say this is the easy part because they can't move, like yada yada, but this whole sleeping thing, like, yeah, no.
Yeah, and you ain't gotta be married, but just like make sure you got somebody that's really gonna be there to support, because that's what I always hope that single parents have, is that they have that village that will step up. I just think of these days where I've tapped out and I'm like, what if Tiana's not here?
Yeah.
Like, I think about that every time. I'm like, I'm so tired, I can't think straight. Oh God, I got a wife. Okay, cool. And it's been times where we've both been kind of out of it. I'm like, all right, somebody's got to stay up a little while longer. So we've had that ability to have the trade-off, like, yo, I gotta go, like, I need a nap, and I'll just go. Like, Tiana will just go. Like, you got to go get that rest, because you're no good to me if you're tired and irritable or you're hungry.
Mm-hmm. And the hungriness like exacerbates the irritability, and then you're snapping at each other, you're snapping at the baby. Like, for me, like, PPD sets in and it's just a downward spiral. So,
and if I say anything, bam, bomb explodes. Oh. And it's probably because I'm tired, but she could be in a mood that I'm not aware of yet. And I'm like, oh, this is harmless. And it was like, I just got my head chopped off 20 times.
And it'd be like that. But you have to come back, and that's why you have, you know, you have the conversations when you're able, and you know you're able to recover. But,
or you just eat it. You're like, all right, lesson learned. Like, just be mindful that there's somebody else you gotta be worried about, and it's a give and take. So, like, I think we're always striving for perfection, but it's just, yo, we gotta coexist in this space. Like, I don't need you mad at me for longer than like maybe an hour. Or maybe 20. If you need a whole day, that's fine. We're both tired, we got stuff to do, but it's still good to have this partner, because yeah, sometimes you need that break. Like, literally, I need to go.
So, shout out to my partner Jasper for being my BB deity and doing a good job.
Yeah, so I think it's a good time for us to kind of get into the money part of things, like what's been going on with the finances.
Today is our day to actually do our quarterly balance sheet, so we'll be back around that.
Mine's gonna look awful.
I think mine's gonna look great, because your girl be saving like a motherfucker. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think mine's gonna look that great, but I like doing the activity no matter what's going on, because that's the point. You face the numbers no matter what they are. We're so afraid of it's been bad that we don't want to address. Like, I know this last quarter for me was not great.
It's such a motivator. I love doing this activity every quarter just to see where I'm at. Whether it's up or down, I know that it's helping me, because in between every balance sheet activity, I'm like, how can I have more money on my next balance sheet? Like, how can I increase my net worth just a little bit in between now and then? Because I love money, and being able to see that I'm taking my own finances seriously, especially now having a kid, like how is this really affecting us as a unit and as individuals?
Well, first, I think we've saved a lot because we're doing cloth diapers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And shout out
reusable
to our friend Angel for, you know, really convincing us to go down this route of cloth diapers. She did it with her kid and, you know, convinced a few of her friends to also do cloth diapers. And because of this, there's like a newborn diaper phase, and then there's the... once you're done with newborn, you use the same size diaper. But with these newborn diapers, we are the third family to use this set of diapers. And because of that, I am proud to have helped save a minimum of 11,000 disposable diapers from being put into landfill. So,
and we told y'all about space earlier. We ain't got the space for all them boxes of diapers, and that was one of the big things before we had her. They're like, y'all need diapers? No,
we do not need any diapers.
No.
So we use cloth diapers, and we also use cloth wipes. So I don't know how many wipes we've saved from also being put in landfill.
Thousands.
But we don't use wipes, we use cloth wipes. We used it's like this diapering lotion when she uses the bathroom and to do all of the cleanups. So everything that we use for her is pretty much reusable.
So here's the trade-off, because cloth diapers means you need to rinse and they gotta wash for a long time. So I have taken the liberty of doing diaper duty. Actually, today is gonna be the day. Probably gonna prep them today. You gotta rinse them, but then they need like a heavy wash in the washing machine. And it's work, y'all. Like, I low-key be in there sweating, so I cut a fan on. But it actually, because I have so much content to consume with, like, podcasts and videos, it's like...
he enjoys his
diaper
duty time.
I get time to think. I know, like, yo, Tian, I'm out for 45 minutes. 45 is the maximum. Well, the first couple times it took me a little longer. The quickest, I've been timing it. I did it, like, in 34 minutes. I was proud, because I was low-key tired. Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much out of it, but... baby needed diapers, so like I was like, suck it up, bruh, get it done. And I'm comfortable with that. I'll say assignment every 3 to 4 days, I know I gotta go do the diapers. Like, today's the day. So it's not something that bothers me, but I think about just the cost savings of, yeah, we're not paying for diapers, yo. And Tiana breastfeeding, so we ain't gotta deal with this formula nonsense. So yeah. I gotta keep my wife in tip-top shape. I be joking calling her my cow, but like,
I call myself Moo Moo, okay, because the way this child uses me for this milk supply is out of control.
But she healthy and she growing, so I know I'm treating my cow right. I let her out into the
that
yard.
That sounds so rude, doesn't it? It sounds so rude, but I'm a motherfucking prized cow at this point. Actually, I'm a bull. Like, because I'm a Taurus, and the sign of a Taurus is a bull. You see how he hating making all this noise to interrupt this audio? It's fine, but don't let it fool you. I'm a fucking prize. Anyway, also, I will say, in regard to the cloth diapering, although we do encourage people to go down this route, we also understand that, like, if you don't have a washer and dryer in unit, that may be a bit difficult. It does add a bit to, you know, how often you do laundry. But on the brighter side, again, storage and the cost savings when it comes to how many diapers you have to buy and keep on hand. Those are things that we just don't have to worry about. I'm super thankful to be able to breastfeed. I know that it is not as easy for a lot of women, but just speaking on my situation, homegirl latched on early, latched on good. She's doing really well. And we are also able to You know, I'm able to pump and give her a bottle as well so Jasper can feed her during those late nights when I'm just done and I cannot get up.
Or in the middle of the afternoon, you're like, I need a nap.
Yep, exactly. Right. So Jasper is able to feed her a bottle with, you know, my liquid gold in it, and we can keep it moving. And so I'm super thankful that.
I was scared because people were like, they might not like your nipples after they've had the
all
bottle.
Of the negative things. Yeah. Like, it was so, like, that was another thing, kind of just going back to the earlier conversations, like, people's negative reactions towards how we were choosing to do parenthood. Like, one, the fact that I wanted to have a natural birth, like, people's negativity about, like, oh, as soon as you feel the pain, you're going to want an epidural. And, you know, I had a friend that XYZ wanted to do natural birth and couldn't blah 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 about our cloth diapering. Yeah, we'll see how long you do that. But like, get your negativity out of my face. Like, I will literally cut somebody off for how negative they are.
So the funny thing about the diaper, so I've also heard that good luck with it, but I'm like, don't y'all know that I'm real, like, Tiana knows I'm clean, like, I'm orderly and clean. Like, me having to clean ain't like an impediment to my life. Like, it's just part of me. I do the dishes, I do this, I take out the, like, it's just one more thing I gotta add on my to-do list of keeping a clean home, which is now keeping these diapers in order. But a lot of people have said, yo, good luck, or how's it going, like, I'm gonna give up, like, what?
Yeah, people's negativity just threw me for a loop on a lot of different levels. As before we had the kid, and I'm just like, don't y'all know who we are? Like, once we put our mind to something, like, it just is what it is. And so to anyone that had some negative things to say when we expressed how we were going to live our life, I would just like to say,
we love you.
Fuck you. Period. Okay? Now, next conversation. Next conversation. I don't need to take no goddamn breather. Let's go.
All right. So I want to talk about the 18-year head start, which is something that I have shared with groups as I've done webinars with clients of mine who are parents. This is even for grandparents. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out, like, why people don't start earlier when you think about their child's future. We all want to see our kids do better than us. And if you're a grandparent, you definitely want to do all that you can to support this young child or young children, however many grandkids you might have. And so I've shared this for years, but it's all been kind of theory for me because I haven't had a kid. So now it's like, oh, it's real life. What are you going to do, Mr. Bill Wealth? Well, Mr. Bill Wealth's going to take his own advice. And so I'm taking, and I'll say we're taking full advantage of the 18-year head start with Jaslyn. And it was not a hard thing to do, and primarily because I am in financial services, so I understand the power of compound interest and time and all the excuses that people make as to why they can't provide for their kids. And the question I have is, why didn't you just get started? Which is the toughest challenge. How do I start? Do a little bit. So here's the four things that I'm doing for Jaslyn is what I would recommend every parent to do as soon as their child was born. Like, at least start the planning process, right? Like, we had to wait till we got her social security card and birth certificate and things like that. But let's have it all ready to go. So once you get that social, everything can get done in the same day, which is what I did. So there's four things you should do. Open up a bank account.
That's number one.
People are going to want to give gifts, and they may just want to send the checks on behalf of the child. Have the kid with a bank account. That's it. Like, most people do that off Jump Street just because they're comfortable with the banks and credit unions. It's safe. They understand that world. So they typically, I've seen people do that first and not do anything else. But it's on my list. So open up the bank account. Next is take out a life insurance policy on your kid. Now, some people listening to this will say, well, I don't want my child to predecease me. Nobody does. But if it happens, stuff got to get paid for. So let's just call it what it is, right? That's what it's for. But what I've done by getting a life insurance policy for my not even 2 months old daughter is that I've got her locked in for life insurance for her entire life. So you can't do term insurance on a child. You can do a permanent policy. There are a lot of different types of permanent policies, but the one I did for Jaslyn will always be in effect as long as this premium is getting paid for her entire life. So if she goes off and wants to be an entrepreneur and her employer doesn't offer her life insurance, at least she has some minimal amount of coverage because we got it done already. We think about, you know, lifestyle choices. I don't know what Jasmine's going to grow up to be, but let's just say in our family, we had a history of all types of cancer or whatever diseases out there that ran in your family. Maybe she's going to get that illness at some point, which means she's uninsurable. So we, again, have insured her, guaranteed her future insurability because she doesn't have the disease now. And then I tell that story because I've had clients who had a series of breast cancer run in their family. And so my client had a daughter and she was like, oh, she might get breast cancer. Not saying she will, but she was like, so many women in her family had gotten breast cancer. She was like, I might as well just get this for her now, just in case. So the other thing, you think of lifestyle choices. Most people get life insurance well after they, like, I now have to get it and I'm probably a lot older and I may not be as healthy, right? So if you knew you needed something, you could get it in advance, why wouldn't you do it? So I don't need to wait until Tiana and I have a couple more kids, acquire more real estate, do all that kind of stuff. I don't need to wait until we need it because at that time I'm older and maybe my health isn't as great as it is today. So you save yourself a lot of heartache and money, literally, if you just took care of stuff early on. So I've guaranteed my daughter's future insurability for her entire life. All right, so we got the bank account, we got the insurance policy. Then we talk about investments. So there's pros and cons to whichever, you know, these two accounts I'm going to mention. There's the 529 college plan, and then you have the, I'll call it the custodial account, which is just an investment account on behalf of the child. Now, some parents say, well, I don't know if my child's going to go to school, so I'm not really a fan of the 529. That's cool. That's where the custodial account comes into play. So you could just do the custodial account and invest in whatever you want, and then you're not tied to school. Now, the interesting thing about the 529s is the parents who typically say they don't want to do a 529 are typically parents with multiple degrees. It's the craziest thing. I don't want my kid to go to college, but yet you and your significant other and everybody in your family's got advanced degrees. But whatever. So
you live and you learn, obviously.
Right. So Tiana and I talked about, is it the 529? Is it the custodial? And, you know, college for Jaslyn,
Who knows,
right?
She might be a movie star.
She could be a movie star, an artist. You know, we don't know what she's going to do, but it's kind of, you know, let's hash out this conversation now around, well, Tiana, what makes the most sense? And so we decided on just the custodial account. So that way the money is there for whatever she wants. Now here's the trade-off. With the custodial account, when Jaslyn reaches the age of majority, it's her money. And so we lose control as a parent, as the guardian, as the person who opens up the account on behalf of the minor. You lose control at a certain age. So it behooves you to teach your kids about this money, or maybe you don't even tell them. So.
But if she goes and blow it, that's her problem.
And here's why I hope she doesn't blow it, because her father blew his custodial account when he turned the age of majority, because Mr. Bill Wealth called his broker and said, I know the rules of this account. You can take my mom's name off of my account. And I laugh now because that's how as soon as I turned 21, I knew I could kick my mom, like, it's my money. Right, I'm only the overseer right now of Jaslyn's investment account until she's of age, and then I got to go. Now she can leave me on there, but we're gonna have a conversation about that because I want her to understand what comes with that money is gonna be a lot of responsibility and discipline. But I say all that to say, pick one. You can do both. You could do real estate for your kid, but I try to limit some of the options by saying the custodial account because you can invest in whatever you want in the markets, or it's a 529 because you want those funds specifically for college. Whichever one you choose, you are right. You don't need a lot of money to start either one of those accounts. Like all the gift money we got for Jaslyn funded that investment account and probably paid for that insurance policy, most of it for the whole year.
So
we didn't even come out of pocket. So when we talk about money, you talk about your village and your community, lean on your village, lean on your community. So all these gifts that we didn't want, that's money that could have funded all of Jaslyn's accounts. Literally. So you're looking for that extra money to put away for college education, your child's future. Well, if we stop buying so much unnecessary bullshit that your kid don't need and we don't want as parents, that's money that could have been applied to these various accounts.
And you would have still got the same thanks for contributing.
Abso-freaking-lute.
Okay, what's number four?
So number four, add your child as an authorized user to your credit card. You don't have to wait until your child is 18 and let them apply for their own credit card. I'm building Jaslyn's credit history right now. Oh, in addition to Jaslyn, there's Tyson, my nephew, who's added. He's had credit since he was like one. London, I apologize, London, if you ever listen to this. I was a little late on you, but I've added you. You've been on for about 4 years now. So I'm building their history. So when they are 18 and they need to apply for their own credit card to get a loan if they need it,
they won't have these outrageous interest rates.
They won't. Favorable interest rate. They'll get a higher limit. They may get approved for a higher loan if they need it. So what I'm doing is we're getting in front of this. I have to wait until I'm out of college, maybe have some student loan debt to start my financial journey. No, Jaslyn won't have to worry about a student loan, which people... Did you know that if you just took advantage of the 18-year head start, student loans would not be a problem in your life? We are not doing hundreds of thousands of dollars into these accounts. We are just starting early and we're staying and remaining disciplined. And as Jaslyn has birthdays and people keep wanting to buy stuff, I'm always going to say, if you get her stuff, it better be stuff and some money. Stuff and some money. You want to take her on a trip? Cool. Take her on a trip and give her some money, because we are going to train our community to fund our daughter's stuff so Tiana and I don't have to come out of pocket. We got other stuff we need to do. We need to do our personal retirement stuff. Mm-hmm. We need to keep saving money.
And this is mainly to also train our community to do things for your community that benefit them long term versus mm-hmm. investing so much in things that are going to go out of style, things that she's going to grow out of, things that we're going to have to dispose of. Versus things that will actually
appreciate
and allow this child to grow up without struggle. Like, I keep saying that we are raising a privileged child. Our child will not grow up and have to have got it out the mud, or will have had to struggle, will have gone without anything.
She's gonna have options, and that's what this, it comes down to giving your child options. You don't have to go to this school. You don't have to take that job. You have to be, I'll say, a productive citizen and do something you love.
She will have the upper hand in majority of situations. Yeah. Of course, she's gonna have the struggle of, yes, she's Black in America. Yes, she's a woman, but money will not be an issue for her ever. Unless she grows up and becomes an adult, blows all her shit, and just didn't learn nothing from us, which I highly doubt.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to do when your daddy's Mr. Real Wealth.
And your mama is an exceptional saver, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. So, the 18-year head start, y'all. What you running for? Please do.
If you have any more questions, you know where to find Mr. Bill Wolf. So, that's that. Next, as we wrap up, we are approaching... Jasper and I, our 1 year anniversary of marriage. Oh, how the time has flown by. And I want to talk about any like lessons learned. It's crazy because we weren't engaged that long. 9 months out of our 1 year of marriage, we were pregnant. And then 2 months out of our 1 year, we've had child on this side of the world. So that's a lot that has like really happened in this 1 year. But I've learned a lot about being a partner. And
what have you learned?
I've learned that I will always say this, like, communication is always gonna be the key to just, like, not blowing each other's head off. And I think having consistent conversations about, like, things that you want to do, and celebrating each other's wins, and really listening to where the other person wants to go in life, is extremely important, because there's such evolution into who we are as individuals, that as you're growing and as the time goes by, if you're not making a conscious effort to, like, keep up with the person that your partner is becoming, you're gonna face, like, harder challenges than kind of you naturally, you're naturally gonna face challenges as you are married and growing a relationship. But if you're not invested in, you know, the person's growth as they are, that's gonna be hard.
I'm learning to be even more patient, because not only do I have a Taurus wife, I have a Taurus daughter.
Gang, gang.
And so I've learned to be even more patient than I thought I was patient, but my patience has been tested, and it will keep getting tested, and I'll keep learning. I ain't getting it right every single time, but I'm good enough to keep the peace. I'm learning to just, there's some battles I don't need to pick. Like, I like picking battles, but I think I physically don't have the energy to do it some days. So it's like, don't respond. Oh, I want to, I'm a responder. I want to clap back. But I've learned, it's like, where is this going to get us today?
Where is this going to get us?
And I think it's a matter of thinking that through. Even when I'm tired and hungry and, like, you know, I get triggered just like everybody else. And I'm just like, let us say one more thing. But I'm like, in my head, I'm not, because we don't need that, for one, to have that energy in the house, because it's just going to make it challenging. Because we ain't going nowhere. Like, we're right. Going out here and there. We're taking our walks. But it's like,
we spend a lot of time together.
In the house. So I'm like, in order for neither one of us to not commit murder or double homicide,
and leave our baby alone with a new guardian.
So I think the biggest for me has been patience. It's been checking. I think communicating, but checking in on you, just because it is. That's an like, I was there through the whole experience of giving childbirth naturally. And so for me, it's learning to just check up on my wife to make sure she's good. And I literally say, are you good? And I expect an honest response. And if you're not, cool. What can I do, if I can do anything? Because sometimes it's something I cannot do. She sometimes just needs to go take a nap or take a shower or, you know, get out there, go somewhere.
Yeah.
Just leave me with some milk. I'll be fine. So for me, it's going to be like for her too. It's a continual... We've got to keep growing together, and we're just getting, like, so much has happened in this
been 2 months since the kid was born. It's literally only been a year since we've been married, and I'm kudos to us for making it this far. Also, that's one thing, but one thing I have also learned is that marriage is a goddamn business, okay? The way, and this part is mostly for the women who have changed their last name to have to go get all the new documentation, okay? I am just now getting all that, getting a new ID, having to get a new passport, all of this, having to go get a new goddamn social security card and wait in a social security office during the pandemic. It's too much. It is too much. I need a one-stop shop. When you go to have to get a new marriage certificate, they need to have the social security. They need to have the, what else did I have to get? The California ID or driver's license, whatever, passport. I need a one-stop shop, because these are all different places with all different types of fees, just because I added Smith to my last name. I'm happy to be a Smith. However, that whole process is just too much. And marriage is also a business.
So this last one, and this will probably be just kind of an ongoing thing. We'll probably do an update next time around, but you wanted to kind of talk about like how to keep the love alive. We figuring it out. I mean, I think the baby's got more sugar.
The baby definitely
the baby's getting all the sugar and all the hugs and all the snuggles.
I be giving that baby diabetes. Okay. Because babies just smell so good. And then they're just so cute when they be making all their little faces.
So we'll keep y'all updated on that. We'll keep figuring it out. So we'll hopefully, you know, we'll do. My bad. So I was stuttering for a second because I was talking and I was listening, but then we're also watching the baby on the monitor, and I just lost my whole train of thought. But again, you got a baby, so I'm like, I gotta pay attention.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the whole giving her sugar and the whole love stuff. But I was here, but I also was looking at my phone.
So keeping love alive, it is something that we are definitely working on figuring it out. We give each other hugs every day.
But in my defense, she had a natural childbirth. I'm just saying, I had to let it heal. But now I know
First of all, we're not getting into this conversation.
It's healed up.
We're going to move along. We give each other hugs, like conscious hugs every day, because we can see it in each other's eyes that we're just like defeated. And no. we just come together and hug.
It's a slow walk, like arms out, like, come on,
bring it in.
You haven't hugged me all day. I'm like, nope. We've been hugging this baby, kissing on the baby. I want to get kissed.
So we bring it in every day, consciously, to say thank you to one another for the partnership. We're gonna go do something to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. We got a babysitter. Lala will be babysitting for the day so that we can go have some fun, just the two of us, to celebrate our making it to 1 year. And yeah,
it's gonna be weird because we haven't, it'd be our first like day
without her.
Oh,
I'm gonna freak out.
I'm already freaking. I'm gonna have the camera, like, leave the camera on.
Right.
If she thinks about a nap, lay her down. I know she'll be in great hands, but it's just like, that's gonna be our test. First time.
That will be unlocking another level of parenthood, being able to leave your child with someone else. That'll be a whole nother conversation. Like, leaving the child with, like, my mom is like totally different than leaving the child with like a babysitter, or leaving them at a preschool or a nursery. And I am approaching the end of my maternity leave, and we're gonna have to start figuring out like, what do we want to do for childcare? And right now I am greatly opposed, but as our lives just start to pick up and resume some sense of normalcy, we're gonna have to figure that out. And on one hand, I'm super grateful that we're both entrepreneurs and have these really flexible schedules. You know, we just don't know what the future holds. Really working on creating a space where we can keep our child and one, save money on childcare and having to like leave them with someone else. But you know, also want to create that space and freedom as well. But you know, we'll see. That'll be it. Once we figure it out, we'll have that conversation and see what other parents are doing, but ultimately figure out what works for us and our level of comfortability. And yeah, it's a process. It's all a lesson. But ultimately, that is where we have been. That's what we've been doing. Wild ride. But we're here for it, and we appreciate y'all joining us. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Love in the Black. That's Love in the BLK. Subscribe to the podcast and do us a favor. Have a safe and healthy rest of July.
Yeah. Enjoy your summer. And I think we're done. We out. We good? We good, too?
Yep, we good.
Peace out.